Sports, delivered in 8 minutes.
It's the
Pepper Needs New Shorts.
Powered by Video Only.
All right, Chug-a-Buck on a Monday. Hope everybody had a good weekend out there. And we roll into a packed Ocho. Let me tell you something. Boy, the Monday Ochos, Ashley, they're just so full of goodies.
They really are.
I mean, we got 3 days to fish from, and not just run-of-the-mill days. We're talking about something that we have never encountered before. Ladies and gentlemen, Saturday and Sunday, we experienced the phenomenon known as Sevengeddon. That is right. Seven game sevens in 2 days. A spectacular, so special that they've already made a movie about it.
Let's finish it.
Brad Pitt, Morgan Freeman, Gwyneth Paltrow.
Have you ever seen anything like this?
No. Seven.
Good.
Yeah. Getting. Yeah, that's going to be good. I like that.
Seven.
Getting.
That's very good.
Oh, man. How about that, though? I mean, we discussed Sixapalooza.
Yeah.
And with the thought of this could shape up to be something like we've never seen before. It shaped up to be something that we've never seen before. Never, never. Never, ever. It's never happened. Somebody did the research. I said it on Friday. I'm not going to take the time to research this, but I'm pretty sure we've never had seven game sevens between the NBA and NHL playoffs in the span of 2 days. The most they've ever had is five.
Yeah,
that's
really
the most ever. So seven is larger than five.
Have you ever seen anything like this?
Seven.
Good.
Yeah, seven is larger than five by two.
Yeah.
Math.
How about it?
I mean, I am amazed. The only thing I will say that I'm disappointed in is we had such an amazing Sixapalooza promo.
Yeah.
And we never got our Sevengeddon promo.
Yeah,
that's true. I was a little disappointed.
Well, at least we got a movie trailer now.
We did, yeah. I mean, so I guess maybe we skipped the promo and went straight to the big screen.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So I guess they were a bigger deal.
Sixapalooza was a big festival. Yeah, the people from the Hollywood people got a hold of this.
It's basically like Independence Day.
Yeah, for Sevengeddon. So, I mean.
Yeah.
Brad Pitt does not come cheap.
No, no, no. And Morgan Freeman is pricey as well.
Oh, well.
Gwen is pretty cheap, but.
Yeah, she is now.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, she can't get a gig.
No.
So seven game sevens in 2 days. The NBA playoffs, seven games, were pretty sucky. But we'll get to those in a moment. The Stanley Cup playoffs, both game sevens. Think about this. You had five game sevens in 2 days. They say there's nothing like a game seven in the Stanley Cup playoffs, and yet you had five of them in the span of 2 days, and then the last two on Sunday, while the NBA is embarrassing itself, the National Hockey League's giving us sudden death overtime finishes, and the NHL playoffs, this isn't the NFL where we concoct rules where you get the ball once for 3 minutes and then you get the ball maybe, but you have to score a touch. It's nothing like that. It's just play hockey until somebody scores a goal. We don't care if it lasts 38 years. That's the way the Stanley Cup playoffs are held. So five game sevens in 2 days, and then the two on Sunday both went to sudden death overtime.
Now Panarin goes in. He shoots. He scores! He scores! Rangers! Rangers! Rangers win!
Stone with a chip in. Lindholm's been pretty quiet the last couple of games also. Has the puck now. Down low for Gaudreau to Tkachuk in the corner. Back to Johnny Gaudreau. Gaudreau in front. Feeds a pass to Lindholm. Stopped by Ottinger. Took it up high. Gaudreau scores!
So the first highlight, the Rangers rallied from 3-1 down in their series to take Game 7 in overtime, 4-3. Meanwhile, Calgary scored the final two goals of their seven-game series with the Dallas Stars. Could have been a banner day for the city of Dallas. Thank God Calgary set the course correctly. We don't want Dallas getting that much success in one day. So they advance with a 3-2 win in overtime. So 7-0. A big success.
A huge success. It was very exciting. Very fun to watch. And I do feel bad for the Stanley Cup fans or the hockey fans that their teams aren't going on. But it is so cool to watch the watch parties that are happening, like for the Flames yesterday, and all, like how many people are out there just staring at a big screen on the side of a building to see if their team is going to advance. I want that.
Yeah. Well, think about like when baseball, go back 100 years, when baseball had become America's favorite pastime.
Yeah.
And they would gather those watch parties, if you will, the first watch parties. Uh-huh. And they would sit there because they couldn't go to the game, and they would just listen to a guy call out the pitches on a megaphone.
Oh, my gosh.
Ball one. And they would get, like, ticker tape. Ball two.
Oh, my God.
And so you would have thousands of people that would show up just to hear a guy announce it on the megaphone.
That's kind of fun. Maybe we should go back to that.
A little bit. Yeah. Or not.
No.
The NHL,
we'll stick with the new one.
The NHL goes dark tonight. No games. And then on Tuesday, doubleheader, Tampa Bay at Florida, St. Louis at Colorado, and then on Wednesday, the New York Rangers at Carolina, and Edmonton at Calgary as the battle for Western Canada. Are you sure they've never met in the playoffs before?
I swear, I'm not sure, but I thought I saw that, and I was trying to look again because it was on Twitter, and I was looking up the Flames. Hold on, I'm pulling this up again. Flames, here we go. There's their Twitter account, and it said something that their matchup is happening, and I don't think they've ever played before.
Oh, that's amazing.
In the Stanley Cup playoffs, I should say, obviously. Yeah.
Well, that's amazing.
Yeah.
So good. Good. Let's get that rivalry going. Let's add some spice to that rivalry there. So there you go. The NBA playoffs on Sunday, their game sevens didn't work out so well. Gross performances by the Milwaukee Bucks and Phoenix Suns. The Suns, really unforgivable. They were blown out by the Dallas Mavericks 123-90. It was never close for a team that was the favorite to win the NBA title going into the postseason. Luka Doncic scores 35 points in the game. Dallas rolls into the Western Conference Finals. Monty Williams, the head coach of the Phoenix Suns, after the loss.
I just told them, you know, how bad I hurt for them. I know they didn't want to play that way. We basically played the worst game of the season tonight. That group has a lot of character and integrity, and I know how bad they wanted it. We just make a shot early, and that messed with us a little bit, and Dallas played their tails off from start to finish. But I talked to them about, you know, all year long we've been hearing all the praises, winning all the games and setting records and all that stuff. And we've been, you know, taking it. Well, tonight you got to take it. They play their tails off. And, you know, that part for me is tough because I know how bad our guys wanted it. We just had a bad night.
I like Monty Williams, but you played your worst game of the season. Monty, you may have played the worst game in the history of the National Basketball Association. And I'm not even exaggerating. Sometimes in the moment, become a prisoner, and as you're a talk show host, you try to say, like, powerful things.
Yeah.
Number one seed, playing at home, game seven, highly favored, and you're never in the game at any moment? Like, you pretty much don't show up? DeAndre Ayton played 7 minutes last night. Chris Paul just absolutely disappeared in this series. Devin Booker, who's always talking about, or at least referencing, he's referencing. He doesn't talk about it, but he references that he gets overlooked in the superstars of the league conversation. And Devin Booker took so many years to make it to the NBA All-Star game. Dude, this is the game that you wait for. This is where you prove that you're a superstar in the league. Luka scored 35 points in like 30 minutes. What did you do?
Yeah.
This is embarrassing. And for them, and we talked about this earlier, Ashley, to you, if don't you dare use like fatigue. If Chris Paul's excuse is fatigue, you had two series after this.
Yeah.
You're not even halfway through the postseason and you're complaining about fatigue?
Well, and I saw today they're saying he had an undisclosed quad issue. Or
he had an undisclosed
unspecified quad issue, I guess.
He had an undisclosed excuse that he needed to come up with for why he disappeared in another playoff series. That's one of the most disappointing performances that I've ever seen in sports.
Yeah, I agree. And it was interesting. I saw a video, actually, like a clip of from the game going around, and it was Luka Doncic going to give the ref the ball, I believe, and Booker comes over and kind of swats it away and, like, I'll take that. And Luka just gives him this look like, what are you doing? And from then on, he turned it on. And
Bye-bye. I had some things to do, and so I wasn't going to be able to be there for tip-off and to watch probably the first half.
Yeah.
But I was looking forward to picking the game up in the second half, and by the time...
Yeah, it was in the game.
I had time to sit down and actually watch, and I was purposefully not trying to find scores.
Mm-hmm.
I was trying not to see it, and then all of a sudden I tune in, and they're up like 42 or something like that.
Yeah, at one point I think it was, 106 to 56 or something?
Just awful. Milwaukee wasn't much better. They got blown out Sunday as well by the Boston Celtics, 109-81. And again, Giannis looked like he was on his last leg.
Yeah.
Not even halfway through the playoffs, guys. I mean.
Yeah. He did have to step up extra, though, with Middleton out. But still. Yeah.
Sure.
You got to.
He was remarkable, by the way. He was remarkable the entire postseason. But it's game seven. It's seven gooden.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to.
Mess around.
Yeah. You got to step up at this point. And yet, he just seemed like he was getting to the basket and he just wasn't finishing. And Boston ends up winning 109-81. So here you go. They're black tonight as well. So they go dark tonight again. And it'll be Boston at Miami Tuesday. And now they're in the, every other day you play. So there'll only be one game at a time. Dallas at Golden State will take place on Wednesday. Steve Kerr, by the way, has cleared protocol. He will be back to coach the Western Conference Finals. So, you got the NBA going dark. You got the NHL going dark. And that means Mariners are going to have Monday night viewing to themselves as long as they can get across the border without any difficulty.
None shall pass.
What?
None shall pass.
I have no quarrel with you, good sir knight, but I must cross this bridge.
Then you shall die.
Well, that seems extreme.
I don't know that that's necessary.
Yeah, exactly. Some shall pass,
yeah,
but not all shall pass. The Mariners are not going to have their full roster for this series. Scott Service, even up till yesterday afternoon after the game was over, won't tell us who's not going to be available, but clearly a couple players are not vaccinated. Robbie Ray, one of them. That's why he pitched yesterday.
Yep.
But Scott said a couple players will not be making the trip. So that's all he said. He's not telling us specifically who. And I don't even know if couple is loose for five.
Right.
Or if it actually means two. And if Robbie Ray's one of them, then maybe there's just one. But for whatever reason, I don't know why you don't reveal it yesterday.
Yeah, but, I mean, everyone's going to figure it out when they know who's not on the road trip.
Yeah. They'll play tonight. First pitch, 4 o'clock in Toronto. Chris Flexen starting for the M's, and look who's on the mound for Toronto. Yusei Kikuchi.
Yusei.
Our old buddy.
I love it.
Yeah.
Hope he loses tonight, though.
I hope he gets up 15 runs.
Yep.
But the team will have some momentum heading into Toronto. Over the weekend, they took on the National League's best, at least the team with the best record in the National League, the New York Mets, and the Mariners win Friday. They narrowly lose on Saturday, and then a tremendous game yesterday, back and forth, that ends with the bases loaded. The Mets have the tying run at third, the winning run at second base, Pete Alonso at the plate, their all-star slugger first baseman, and the Mariners have gone to the struggling Diego Castillo to try to close it out. You want to talk about some drama.
Castillo He's ready. Takes a deep side. The pitch.
He got him. Yes. 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 And the Mariners beat the Mets. They take the series. It's the first series loss of the season for the Mets and the Mariners' first road win in a series. Wow.
And for Castillo, he was stubborn with the slider the entire time, and it was awesome to watch.
High fives all around the booth, ladies and gentlemen.
I think, again, the shadows played a big role in that.
That's an excellent call, yes. Mike. That's an excellent call.
What Absolutely. A ball game.
Thank you to Root Sports. It was a tremendous game. And wasn't there a moment, Ashley, on the check swing by Alonso? Because the home plate umpire didn't see it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like everything froze in time.
Yeah.
Cal's like already mid-celebration because he knows he went around. And yet the time it took for the umpire to find, I didn't even know if he was going to even ask the first base umpire.
Yeah.
And then he points down to the first base umpire, and it felt like time stood still.
Well, and there was a long pause in that broadcast as that happened, and I just shortened it down because it was like just silence, obviously, as they're waiting. And then Sims yells, "Yes, yes, yes."
Well, yeah. It's like I don't need to do this, but okay, I'll check.
Yeah.
And he clearly went around.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no way to even be angry about it. He clearly went around. Wasn't even close. But man, the guts of a burglar.
Yeah.
Diego Castillo, and I don't even know if it was Castillo or if it's Raleigh or if it's the signs coming from the dugout. But you decide to load the base. You decide to walk Francisco Lindor to get a better matchup. Okay. But Castillo had been struggling mightily, certainly with his control. And then you just have him just throw nothing but sliders. And yeah. Trusting that Cal Raleigh's going to block them all and that you're going to get Pete Alonso to fish on strike two and strike three.
And they did it.
Full count. He throws a pitch 9 inches off the plate.
Yeah.
And got Pete Alonso to chase. So, yeah, that was some drama right there. That's some drama for mid-May of a baseball season. Julio Rodriguez had his best game of his major league career to this point, 4-for-4 with a home run. On Sunday, all of a sudden, he's hitting .264.
Yep. Look at that.
How about that? And Jesse Winker, 2-for-4. He had a good weekend. Now he's hitting .224. So we're getting back to respectability there. So two of the guys that we kind of been waiting on, and let's face it, we're going to be counting on this year. Maybe they came out of it this weekend in New York because they take 2 out of 3. So the Mariners sit at 16-19 as they get ready to face the Toronto Blue Jays. UW softball is ready for the postseason. They are going to host the regional. That means 4 teams meeting right here in Seattle to determine who advances in the College World Series.
You're in. God bless. Come. The real magic is taking 4 strong solo acts and making them all work together. And that's exactly what you did. So welcome. Welcome to the eye.
Welcome to the eye.
UW is ranked 10th nationally, but they got a 13th ranking in the tournament. It's the 28th straight tournament appearance for the program. Texas, Weber State, and Lehigh will be the other 3 teams meeting here in Washington starting this weekend. And the Huskies' first game, Ashley, will be Friday at 5 o'clock against Lehigh.
I can't wait. This is, I think, one of the most fun things to watch.
It's a blast.
The Women's College World Series, yeah. The Men's College World Series. It's just so exciting.
I like the softball better than the baseball.
I personally do too, but they're fun. It's fun to see all these kids. I sound so old.
Kids.
Yeah.
All these kids. Just playing for the love of the game.
That's right. Nothing more.
Drew Brees made some news yesterday. The initial report was that he wasn't going to be brought back by NBC on their broadcast team. And then Drew Brees clarified, well, that's not necessarily true. I might still do it, but I haven't ruled out playing next year. So, yeah.
Wow.
Bury the headline.
Yeah.
Greg Bell was on with us earlier this morning, and I asked, would there be any interest from the Seahawks?
Well, they would ask if it ever got to that because they want to be in on everything, and of course they would ask. But there used to be when retired players or players who just quit, that was it. And unless they make a public announcement and decide that they've changed their mind like Brady did, then that was it. And they had their thoughts to themselves. Well, now they have Twitter and TalkTick and Snapgram and whatever. They can just type it, what they're thinking, and send the whole NFL world into a tizzy. Yet another example of that there are no games between February and September. So when one of the best quarterbacks of his generation says that at the most important position, it makes way. So I get all of that. And if it ever got to where he would declare, I'm coming back, then of course the Seahawks would say, well, what would it take?
Yeah. TalkTick and Snapgram.
Two of my favorites.
Yeah, exactly.
Two of my favorites.
I'm not surprised. It is hard to give this up, by the way.
Yeah.
You know, competing for a living and then you just quit cold turkey.
Yeah.
And you go into a broadcast booth.
And you don't get the same adoration in a broadcast booth.
You don't get any adoration. I mean, pretty much you get told that you're terrible at what you do.
Yep.
By people at Twitter. And then you the thrill of the competition, the camaraderie in the locker room, the preparation that they get addicted to, even though they complain about it constantly. Yeah. I mean, he looked like a guy that needed to retire the last time that I watched him play football. But a year off, not taking abuse, maybe gets the arm strength back up, certainly knows the game, hasn't been away too long that it's gotten away from him. I'm not surprised by this at all. I would assume that the Saints would be the only destination, but you never know. You never know. PGA Championship and Preakness Week, by the way, and we will build up our coverage of that as the week goes along. Coming up next, though, joining us, he was part of
Seven Garden.
John Forslund is going to join us next on Sports Radio 93.3 KJRFM.
20th.
Hear us anywhere, anytime on Alexa or Google Play at Sports Radio 93.3 KJRFM and on the iHeartRadio app. Now back to Chuck and Buck.
It's Chuck and Ashley. Bucky is out for one more day, and so here we are on a Monday, not just recapping all things Mariners over the weekend, talking a little football with Drew Brees, but of course, tackling the big story, not just of the weekend, but a once-in-a-lifetime experience, the phenomenon being called throughout the world,
Seven Gooden.
Seven
Gooden.
Right here at Sports Radio 93.3 KJRFM. Seven game sevens over the weekend, five in the National Hockey League playoffs alone. And joining us now on the program is the voice of your Seattle Kraken, who has been calling playoff games as well. John Forslund is with us right here on Chuck and Buck. Hi, John.
Hey, Chuck. Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing all right. So if there's truth to the statement that there's nothing like a Game 7 in the Stanley Cup playoffs, then what is five Game 7s in 48 hours like?
It's off the charts, right? yeah. I mean, absolutely incredible. We always say it before the playoffs start, like, you're not going to believe what you're about to see. And sometimes it happens. Sometimes you get series that basically are no-brainers. You see the odd sweep every once in a while. But the NHL just leads you down this road of parity, and it played out in the first round. And the thing about it is a lot of great teams went home after 2 weeks. Unfortunate for them, but we'll see what happens now as we move on.
Well, I know you weren't given, like, a series. You've been bouncing around and calling some of these playoff games. Forgive me, were you a part of any one of these Game 7 broadcasts the last 2 days?
Oh, no, I was supposed to do Game 7 with Florida and Washington. That didn't happen. That game went to overtime in Game 6 on Friday night. It was an unbelievable hockey game with TJ Oshie tying the thing up in the last minute with six attackers, and it went to overtime, and Carter Verhaeghe won the game for Florida. But, yeah, I was supposed to do that. Then there was a little indecisiveness on maybe New York. There's a lot of stuff in play, the way the rights worked out moving forward for the NHL with two rights holders. In the past with NBC, we'd have one series. It's really the way to do it. You jump into a series, you take it from the beginning to end. It's much easier to cover. But the way we're doing it now, you're kind of bouncing all over. I think it'll be easier in the second round. But in the first round, you know, like I dropped right in, Keith Jones and I dropped right into the sixth game of a Florida-Washington series. I mean, you can watch it all you want on television and follow it on the internet and everything and be prepared for the game. But until you see it live, you don't really have the temperature of a series. It's hard to do it that way.
Yeah, yeah. Do you have your assignment yet for Tuesday or Wednesday?
Well, we're working it all out right now, okay. And I also am online to do national radio moving forward, too. I do know I'm covering the Eastern Conference Final for national radio, syndicated Sports USA that has the rights. So I'll be doing that. We're going to try and figure out what happens here in the second round. But it's a little different for me this time around because you know, I'm working kind of as a freelancer with Turner, and the contracts get in the way and all that kind of stuff. But we'll see what happens in the second round.
John Forslund is with us, voice of the Kraken. We'll talk a little bit about the Kraken here in a moment, but right now talking about the Stanley Cup playoffs, which have certainly been thrilling to this point with the five game sevens in the last couple of days. Take us inside from a professional standpoint going into overtime of a game seven. And how on edge you have to be as a play-by-play guy, because you can't blow that, John. I mean, you can't relax because things happen so fast that the game-winning goal is going to be scored at any moment. So what's it like from your perspective to be on the call of a game like that?
To be honest with you, it's scary. It's a lot of fun. It's exhilarating when it's over. But you do get anxious about it. And I had to figure out, it's a great question because most people wouldn't even think about this, but I mean, you do wonder about it. You know, your call's going to get stamped on it. You want to make sure you get the moment right. You want to make sure you do it justice. You want to make sure you pay off the right player. A lot of these things can go awry in hockey. Hockey, as you know, is played at a breakneck speed. Lots of times we're a great distance away from the playing surface. I don't look at monitors ever. So it's really hard to determine goal scorers. And we had a play, a couple of crazy plays. I did overtime down in Tampa on Thursday night, which extended that series to seven games, and it was a goal mouth scramble, and the tips and the scrambles and the goal posts are the ones that play-by-play people have nightmares about, and Braden Point scored the goal, and I kind of figured it out along the way, got the call right, thank God, and I wasn't sure. And those are where you hold your breath, you make sure you're right. My partner knew I had it right, and then you watch the replay because you still don't believe it. Mm-hmm. We had a play Friday night with Oshie's goal. It was a scramble, and I couldn't see exactly who got it. It looked like Oshie did. I looked at his celebration. I got it. I was on it, and I was lucky because it very easily could have gone off somebody else. It could have been Anthony Mantha's goal. It could have gone off a Florida player. And what you want, you know, it's not that big a deal, but it is a big deal. It's a big deal to me.
Yeah.
So I learned over time you got to not get taken in by the enormity of the moment because these games have a lot of pressure attached to it, and just do the best you can. But you got to get it right. It's a nightmare if you don't.
Well, after watching you for a year and listening to you for this past year, didn't take me very long to realize we had one of the best. So, yeah. So, John Forslund is with us right here on Chuck and Buck in the Morning, Sports Radio 93.3 KJR FM. How sad should the average sports fan be for the Maple Leaf fan?
Oh, don't give them any sympathy at all. I mean, come on. I mean, they carry. This is an odd one, okay? Because we kid about Toronto, right? Those of us in the hockey industry, we kid about Toronto as the center of the hockey universe. It's almost the self-proclaimed center of the hockey universe, and it is. The Hockey Hall of Fame is there. Rich history. We got an original six franchise. There's no doubt about it. But you know. The Maple Leaf fans, you can look at it with their passion that they have, but we really don't see anything like it in sport. The Montreal Canadiens have the most Stanley Cups in this game. In baseball, you have the Yankees. In football, you could argue a little bit about the Cowboys, but I go to the Cowboys because of that America's Team thing that was built, you know, in the 70s when I was a kid and then carried on through the Jimmy Johnson era and all this stuff. But anyway, there's a national attachment to those teams. The same thing with the Maple Leafs, but they haven't won since 67. And they haven't won a playoff series since 04. And I used to work for a team in Raleigh, North Carolina that had a pretty good playoff pedigree along with a Stanley Cup in 06. And you get disrespected for some reason. And I never understood it. So when you work in a market as long as I did in Raleigh for almost 25 years, you almost get defensive about it because you go into Toronto and they pay you absolutely no respect. Yet Carolina in 02 ousted them in the Eastern Conference Final in six games, and you still don't get any respect. So I don't know why that is. Good for those fans. They got a lot of money invested in some great superstar players who are going to carry the league. And I think Austin Matthews is the best player in the game. All due respect to Connor McDavid, but for this season, he was. And I think they're going to be fine, but I don't have any sympathy for him. No way.
Now that I know that they're the hockey equivalent of the Cowboys or the Yankees, I understand fully. Screw them.
There you go. You're onto it.
how closely, I mean, you're the voice of the Kraken now, and we're not giving you away. But how closely do you still keep an eye on the Hurricanes and root for the Hurricanes, who are still alive right now?
Well, I don't root for them, I'll be honest with you. I don't root for them. I do watch them, and I watch like I do all the teams. And, you know, I watch a ton of hockey, Chuck, on a daily basis during the regular season to do what I do. So I follow them closely. I've got a lot of friends there, to be fair. I've got a big place in my heart for the head coach. I've known him since 2000. We became friends over time, and I think Rod Brind'Amour is one of the best, if not the best coach in the game. They got a legitimate chance to do it. But, you know, the thing is, that was many years ago now, as I look at it, not a long time, but I broke away from that in 2020. And the best thing happened to me was when we initiated talks with Todd Lewicki, and I decided that, you know, the offer they were presenting me was too good to be true. And I was blessed at my age and my stage of this career to get a chance to go to Seattle and do this. And I just came off the best year of my career. I've told a lot of people that. And I've had a lot of high moments, a lot of great games that I've been attached to, terms of games that I've covered and teams that I've covered. But what I just experienced with the Kraken, and I don't blow smoke, that was the greatest year of my career.
Wow, that's amazing. How fired up are you for when the Kraken get to marry this Stanley Cup playoff experience for the very first time?
Well, that will be so great, and that will be so special that the fans of the Kraken and the region and the market and everybody doesn't even understand what this is like until it happens. It's like anything in life, until you experience it, you have absolutely no idea what anybody's talking about. You can listen, you can watch, you can be a voyeur from the outside, but until you're in it, and I'm talking about the fans right now, until they get in the building for a Stanley Cup playoff game and they go through that emotional roller coaster and your team goes to overtime and you're doing it every other day. And if you go all the way, you're doing it for 2 months where you're exhausted by the end, but you're absolutely thrilled with what happened. It's gonna be great. And I know, just based on what we saw at Climate Pledge Arena all season, that it's going to be a special place that the league and the outsiders that cover the league are going to want to come to and be part of. So I can't wait for that day. Hopefully it's sooner than later. It will come. And the team will be legit and in there, and it'll be an annual thing. And we'll be complaining about third round losses at some point, and that'll be a good thing.
Yeah, and rub it in the face of Toronto Maple Leafs fans.
That's right.
That's right.
Maybe they'll come in for the Stanley Cup final, and that would just be fitting.
All right. Well, hey, great to catch up with you. It has been a great first year here, listening to you, watching the Kraken games this year, getting to know this team, this organization, and the broadcasters that call the games. So have fun in the Stanley Cup playoffs. I know you will, and we'll talk to you again real soon.
Thanks a lot, Chuck. Keep up the great work, and we'll chat soon. Thanks for having me.
There he is, John Forslund, joining us right here on Chuck and Buck in the mornings. So if we find out which game he's calling, we'll pass it along to you right here on Chuck and Buck. All right, coming up next, on our program. We're getting ready to head into Canada, Toronto, as a matter of fact. Now that I know that it's perfectly acceptable to laugh at the Maple Leafs and all of their misery, we can maybe pile on the Blue Jays as well. Sports Radio 93.3 KJRF. Oh, it's Chuckabuck Sports Radio 93.3 KJR FM. Yeah, NBA's gone dark tonight. NHL's going dark tonight. Just paves the way. 4 o'clock, perfect time for morning people to watch baseball.
That really is.
Heading north of the border.
Yep.
Taking on those Toronto Blue Jays.
Yep.
You say Kikuchi is going to be there?
You say who?
Uh-huh.
Exactly.
What you said.
Yep.
What you say.
I see what you did there.
So 4 o'clock, it will be Kikuchi against Chris Flexen, your pitching matchup. And so, look, I mean, before we start talking about Toronto, and man, they're scary. They're just scary is all there is to it because they're not even themselves yet, and it's going to happen at some point, and you just hope that it doesn't happen until, let's say,
Thursday. Perfect.
Yeah, let's just go with Thursday. When a certain team will be in Boston, Massachusetts, the Toronto Blue Jays can finally explode. Let's talk about it. I mean, yesterday, I mean, it's a couple wins. I mean, look, we're still talking about a team that's 16-19. So that's below mediocre. That's the start that we're off to 35 games into this season. This is a team that's not exactly the Toronto Blue Jays lineup. I mean, it's not terrifying, but it is better than it was a year ago. And over the weekend, you know, probably the best weekend of the year to this point, to take on a hot team on their territory, to be in every game, and to come away with 2 out of 3 close wins. And the thing that excites me most is what happened yesterday. Not just the win, but who was responsible for the win. You know, Julio Rodriguez goes 4 for 4, has his best game. It's as if he's now ready. Like, okay.
Yeah.
I needed to figure this league out. I needed some time under my belt. And
Yeah, it took me a month.
Yeah. Growing pain's over.
Yep.
You know, and of course, it's baseball. I mean, they're not over. You're always learning, and you always are going to face slumps. But it's almost feels like he's arrived at that point. Like, yeah, this game was really fast, and it felt like I was a little in over my head. I don't feel that way anymore.
Yeah, I definitely don't.
Don't you get that impression when you watch him play?
He doesn't feel like he's over his head anymore. Yeah, he feels more comfortable. He always had a smile on his face and looked like nothing was fazing him. But you could tell he wasn't relaxed. Mm-hmm. Now he seems to have that a little bit of relaxation, and he just feels like he's figuring it out.
Averages up to 264 right now, not having any difficulty in center field, although I'd like for him to look smoother out there. He always seems like he struggles a little bit and then makes the catch.
Yeah, maybe that's just his fun.
Yeah, maybe. But Cal Raleigh, no one needed that hit more than Cal Raleigh, and he murdered that baseball. Diego Castillo to get the final out. I mean, he needs to be a part of this pen. I mean, he needs to be in this mix for saves and high leverage situations. I mean, that's just kind of the way the thing is set up. And for him to have struggled so severely here recently and then be called upon in that moment, and in that moment you come through?
Yeah.
My goodness. So hopefully that's going to catapult him. And then Jesse Winker, who had his best weekend as a Mariner. And look, that guy's he's just hugely important to this. I mean, that was the off-season offensive acquisition that Jerry decided to make.
Yep.
And he needs to perform. And I've never lost doubt that he's going to. He's going to hit like an all-star, particularly against right-handers. And by the way, he's hitting lefties pretty well right now.
Mm-hmm.
So if this is the place where he figures out how to hit both lefties and righties, then I think we got great Winker days ahead. But actually, to get that win, you know, one of the best wins of the year to this point, maybe the best win of the year to this point, and to have those four guys in particular be the stars of the game, it's sort of, you know, I mean, you're kind of hoping that that's the corner turned mm-hmm. for this entire roster to get those four guys, you know, productive going forward.
Well, and it's awesome because it takes so much pressure off in so many different ways. One, you're taking the pressure off the rest of the team, right? Because now everybody's kind of stepping up and doing their part. But it takes the pressure off those guys who weren't, I mean, Winker wasn't doing great. And it was just a matter of time. When's he going to come through? And for mm-hmm. that to happen to him, it seemed like he was having a lot of fun playing in New York and bantering with the fans. And it seemed like he got back to really enjoying what he was doing, which maybe he was stressing himself out. Or maybe it was, I mean, you were talking about how it's so mental. And mm-hmm. and maybe he got back to just, it's baseball, and I like baseball. Let's play.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah, I think something snapped loose. And we knew it was going to happen at some point, or I knew it was going to happen at some point. And so I think that now that train's going. And I'll be honest. I mean, those four guys are kind of essential to this. I mean, you can't ask any more from what Ty France has done so far mm-hmm. this season. Keep it up, kid.
Yeah.
JP, I mean, he's playing at an all-star offensively and defensively. My goodness, the guy's got an OPS over 900 right now. That's better than Francis.
Yeah.
So, obviously, we're getting everything you want out of them. We are getting what I sort of expect out of Suarez and Frazier. You know, I don't know if you should expect much more than what you've seen. I think Suarez is a guy that's going to thump a home run here and there. Probably going to knock in a few runs. He's not spectacular defensively. Might not even be average. And he's going to hit around 200 and strike out a lot. And Adam Frazier is not the all-star that he showed you last year. He's a streaky hitter. That's what he's been in Pittsburgh. But a guy that can play for you every day and is going to be, I think, a good acquisition for this team. But if you were trying to circle players that need to step up right now, you're circling the four guys that came through yesterday.
Yeah.
Bottom line, Castillo, Raleigh, Rodriguez and Winker.
Yeah.
And if they get things in the right direction, this team moves in the right direction.
I completely agree. And it's nice that they've all got, you know, to help in the ways that they're helping out to be stepping up to the plate, to be able to actually hit the ball, do that. That's great. But then they're also leading. I mean, to have Raleigh have the confidence in Castillo yesterday and, you know, to be able to help him out in the way, it's just nice to be seeing it. I'm excited. Yeah.
And then I'll throw Marco in and what he did on Friday.
That's true. Yeah. That seems like it was so long ago.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, let's throw Marco in that mix. I mean, Marco couldn't play yesterday.
Right.
But let's, you know, his performance on Friday going head-to-head against Max Scherzer.
Which you called. You said, I think Marco's going to step up. He's going to keep this game low scoring and the Mariners have a chance going against Scherzer because, you know, you're not going to get a lot of runs. And he did it. One run. Great.
Well, thank you for pointing that out.
Yeah.
I'm not used to people listening to me.
I was like, wow. It was like Chuck had that almanac, the sports almanac from Back to the Future.
Yeah. I think I even said 2-1.
You might have. I'd have to go back to, but you did say it was going to be very, like, yeah, you're not going to get a lot of runs. You might have said, yeah, you're not going to get a lot of runs. It'll be like 2-1.
Yeah.
Yeah. You might have. Yeah.
Look at that.
Look at that.
Blind squirrel, you know. All right, coming up next, there was one thing about this weekend series that was noticeable, and it launched a lot of conversation on Friday shows, including ours, but we didn't know that Jared Kelnick was going to be demoted like he was on Friday prior to the series. And a series that was going to be – there was going to be a lot of time spent discussing that guy. And maybe that's the reason he was demoted when he was demoted. But we're going to get into that conversation coming up next. It's Chuck and Buck Sports Radio 93.3 KJR.